today is October 9th. I'm still here at the Kansas Association for Gifted, Talented, and Creative Convention, annual convention in Lawrence. I'm sitting here, though, after a wonderful discussion with Julie Rhodes. She is a former gifted facilitator and is now, tell me your title again.
I'm a full-time instructor for the education department at Cali College. Main campus is located in Arc City.
Okay. And Julie and I actually went to classes together, our master's classes at Emporia State. Well, we didn't. I went there, but you were distance learning with that. Did you ever come to
campus? No, we were on campus together.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Get older, my memory goes. But she works with classes over distance with pre-service teachers, and we sat in on a session that I had been talking with 21st Century Tools, and then we went to the Bloggers Cafe, and that's what I love about Julie is that she is not a brand new teacher. She's a seasoned, I think is what they talk about, seasoned veteran. And but yet she's jumping in with both feet into these skills that she knows in pre-service teachers are going to be needing to educate current students. We were just talking a little bit ago, and I thought, we need to get this down. Both of us teach new kids, and we teach seasoned teachers, and we teach, well, you teach, I don't teach like 20-year-olds, but
right.
What's the difference in exposing these different populations to technology? What are the differences and similarities?
Well, I do have, because we do offer so many distance learning opportunities, I do have a diverse group in that you've got the 18-year-olds that are just coming out of high school that you would assume have more technology skills than some of the non-traditional students. And then I have a number of non-traditional students who seem to have some equal technology skills and then some that are still don't even own a computer yet. Mm-hmm. So it definitely makes for interesting challenges in class when they have all those skills.
Do the 18-year-olds coming out of high school, are they tech savvy or?
Not like you would think they would be. They're really not. Some of them, even with the simple fact of getting onto our WebCT, which is the software that we're currently using for some of our online courses, and being able to get onto that, you have to take the first day of class and walk them through those simple steps in order to get through. So it's really kind of surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, though, this is my experience being in traditional schools is a lot of times when we're teaching kids technology, that's what we do is we teach them the tool. And a lot of the times what we teach them is PowerPoint. We as mm-hmm. teachers teach what we're comfortable mm-hmm. with.
Right.
With which we're comfortable. And so I know that when I was at the middle school, students in 7th and 8th grade would come to me, and I'd say, well, let's think about some product you could do to show your learning. And they weren't sure, and they always wanted to do something on paper. And I'd say, well, is there something you want to do with, you know, technology or the computers? And they said, well, we can always do PowerPoint. And I said, well, have you done PowerPoint before? And they're, well, yeah, I've done PowerPoint since 3rd grade, but still in high school.
Oh, yeah.
They're asking
oh, yeah.
them to learn PowerPoint.
I had a student the other day, and he said, so what do you think about PowerPoint? And I said, very overrated and overused.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the drawing board, think of something else. So one of the presentations that I did for them was we were learning about educational philosophies in class. So I went out to YouTube, found some educational philosophies, found a particular piece that a pre-service teacher had put together on his philosophies, and he even uploaded his own music that he had created, his own composition, to go with it. And so I demonstrated it to the class, and when we got done, I said, guess where you're going?
Oh.
And so now, with their presentations, because they have to design their own school, so all the information that I've gotten from here at KGTC convention this year, I'm going to take back to my class and say, okay, here's some more things to think about and put into your presentations, because they have to design a school from the ground up, and they have to come up with their educational philosophy, their mission statement, they have to think about the curriculum, which is where the point that we are right now, and so they're looking at curriculum, what are some trends in math and science, how are those trends going for us here in the United States, and why aren't those trends going very well
or not?
And then from all of that, then they have to create a presentation and convince me, the money person, that I'm going to spend money on their school. And so PowerPoint, it better be a very small, minute, if at all, any portion of their presentation.
Right. So. Right. Where, you had mentioned trends. I just love that mm-hmm. because I feel that I'm somebody who tries to look to the future, at least at least a couple years down the road. Where are they finding these trends? Where do they?
We're just getting started. So they're just now utilizing the textbook, which is focusing on trends of in mathematics rather than so much rote memory. They're looking more at integrating math instead of having it so departmentalized, where you integrate the geometry and the algebra all together instead of having specific courses that are separated out. So that's one of the trends that's being discussed right now. And then, of course, I went had them go out and do some research on TEMS. What are some results from that? Based on that,
the third international science study,
math science study.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Right.
And so they've had to go out and do some research on that. And in fact, while I'm here at the convention, they had to do their research while I was gone, and then today had to have an online chat utilizing the WebCT software. And so then I had an opportunity in between sessions today to jump in on that chat and say, hey, folks, here's some things for you to think about. You're not understanding concepts versus skills. Those are different. So kind of put my little two cents in, and then, got to go. And so they carried on with their conversation, and now they have to utilize the research information that they've gathered as well as the discussions that they've shared with each other to answer a thought-provoking question about what curriculum would you provide in a new school.
Nice. Now, when you're working with these pre-service teachers, not necessarily the ones that you have right now, I don't want you to think about them in particular, but other students that you've had in the past in pre-service, are they, when they come to you, are they ready with the research skills, with the how to collaborate skills, and how important do you think that is, not only for your class, but for their future?
They really aren't. In fact, a lot of the times, right now we're having some issues with advisement and saying, look, advisors, they really shouldn't take this class until they're, in their sophomore years. And so we're having students come in that don't even have some of the fundamentals of human growth and development, U.S. history, psychology, philosophy, and some of those basic skills. And then when you try to get them to work in a group, they're used to the same types of group work that they've had in high school, where it's more cooperative rather than collaborative. And so they're really lacking some of those collaborative skills.
So in other words, they're breaking it up into pieces and then they bring it back together and throw it down. It's
right.
Not that they're actually working together and helping
right.
each other grow.
Right. And that even though each person may have a responsibility, it still takes the whole group with that piece. So even though they divide it up in pieces, they don't understand that it shouldn't just be that person working on that piece.
Right.
They should still be collaborating together as a group on that piece. What I've done is I've started them from the very beginning that when they each had to find out their own educational philosophy, then I mixed them up and said, okay, when you go out in the real world, everybody's going to have a different philosophy on education and how it should be done. So now they've had to share their philosophies, and then they've had to come up with a dominant philosophy for their school.
Mm.
And then they had to create a mission statement. Mm-hmm. And now they've got to design their curriculum, and why are we doing what we're doing? What for, how come, for what purpose, who are we teaching? So they have to do research on the students that are in the community, where they are.
This is an intro to teaching class.
Mm-hmm. Intro to teaching
class.
This
is not like my intro to teaching class.
No, it's not.
My intro to teaching class, we talked about Vygotsky and Piaget and general ideas of what education is and has been.
Mm-hmm.
Never what it will
right.
be
right.
or should be.
Right. And we did look at the history of education. Where were we?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't spend a lot of time on it. It was just, okay, let's look at the centuries, 1600s, 1700s, etc. What was the main purpose of education? What were some influential things that changed education? And we, the American Revolution, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really want them to focus on and realize that if they genuinely want to go into education, they have to be part of this collaborative process to make effective change in schools. And that through the accreditation process, they're going to be part of that. And so I'm trying to simulate that accreditation process with them designing their own schools.
I think that you're definitely getting there on the right track. I don't have any answers, but it certainly sounds better than what I ever went through. One last question, just to kind of wrap it up here. What one thing do you think that if somebody listening to this podcast, whether they're or maybe a couple of things,
right.
what thing could they do, what tool could they use, what approach
wow.
could they use to start, whether they're a pre-service teacher or a current teacher, to make the biggest change for current elementary, high school, middle school students to make a lasting change? What could they do today?
Holy moly.
I know. I threw that one on you. And it's tough.
Well, and it's so broad.
It is. It is.
That is very broad. I mean,
well, and feel free to narrow it.
It's like, if you think about it, well, the instructional and the instructional methods and the organization of high schools has not changed since the
1800s. 1892.
Yeah. And we've modified a little bit, you know, in that, okay, it's organized by times. Well, a lot of schools have gone to big, you know, longer blocks as opposed to the 50-minute block, but it's still organized by blocks and by time and departments and so forth.
Seat time.
Exactly.
Not whether you're learning.
Time. And I really think we need to get away from the departmentalized strategy and idea, because students are not able to transfer knowledge. They're not able to transfer. Kind of what one of our guest speakers had said when we were talking about social science, if I hit you and you hit me back and I'm surprised by that, you know, that whole consequences, and they don't get that. They don't transfer from what they're learning in class out into real life. And I think if we had a more interdisciplinary rather than departmentalized and bringing in the technology and being able to look at, I'm excited about the idea. It's going to take me forever to get it done, but the idea of being able to take my students and have them learn about education in other countries by actually going and visiting those countries.
But now in real life or virtually?
In virtually.
Okay, so it doesn't cost them anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And doing it virtually rather than, you know, why couldn't you learn about the effects of World War II virtually?
Yep.
Instead of sitting there having a teacher lecture, because that's the same instructional method that's been happening since 1892. Why not get them on a virtual
virtual field trip,
virtual visit people who, you know, we have veterans here in the United States that you can go and visit with, but what about some veterans from other countries that participated in World War II? What was their take on it?
A whole different perspective.
You know, very much like Clint Eastwood attempted to do with his movies. Why couldn't they just go out and do it? Why go to a movie to see it? Go talk to the real thing.
Terrific.
I think that would be fantastic.
I think so, too. I'm all up right with the idea of virtual field trips, and my students have been able to take some of those recently, but we need to get that word spread, and I appreciate you helping and working with pre-service teachers. I think we've got a common vision. You and I haven't talked in years, so it's kind of nice to see that we're still moving along parallel paths. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it.
Yeah.